This is Glenn Coble, and we'll have Scott on here in a minute as soon as I get the music out of here. I did get a message today. They mailed in an announcement. The Fulton Creek Friends Church will be conducting Vacation Bible School starting Monday the 25th and go through Friday the 29th. They're for grades K through 6. Now, this is a little unusual. Vacation Bible School starts at 6 p.m. daily and ends at 8:30. It's free. Registration opens at 5:30. If you're interested, call 740-943-2047. That's 740-943-2047. Hey, Scott, are you there?
I'm here. How are you?
I'm good. I had a letter sitting right there, and I decided, well, I better open it up, and it was an announcement somebody had sent in. I hope you don't mind me.
What's going on?
Vacation Bible School. Now, I remember Vacation Bible School a lot because my dad had it at his church, but I don't ever remember it being an evening thing, and this one goes from 6 to 8:30 in the evening. I think that's a neat idea. Help out some
nice.
Of the
now,
working parents.
Any other letters or mail around there? I haven't been over there in a while.
No, that was the that's the only one that's here that I see.
Well, I'll be there tonight.
Oh, good. Good. What are you coming here tonight for?
Well, don't we have a meeting?
Oh, is tonight? No, I thought that was tomorrow. I'll look back at my thing. It may be tonight.
Yeah, double check that because I'm pretty sure that the indication was tonight.
Yes, you're right. It's tonight. I'm glad you mentioned that.
I'm glad we talked about this.
I'm sorry?
I said I'm glad we talked about
it. Yeah, I am too. That way I'll know what I'm doing tonight. Well, I have a problem each time that they ask for 6:30 because if I tell my wife we're going to eat it earlier than 6 o'clock, I'm in trouble. So. But I've been given special dispensation. I've been told I could come as soon as I'm done and ready.
and luckily, it's only four times a year.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. In any event, you know, we haven't talked. How did things go at the doctor last week?
As I expected.
Well, see, I don't know what you expected, so I'm confused.
Well, I really don't want to spread that out on the airwaves.
No, I'm just saying, is there some kind of process that will be coming up?
Yeah, there is.
Okay.
I have what they thought, I have what I thought, and they're going to take care of it, and it's relatively minor, so that's good.
Oh, minor. Well, that's all you need.
Yeah. Well,
that's
it's
good news.
Semi-minor.
See, now we're getting bigger. Now we went from minor to semi-minor.
Well, yeah. I don't know. I'm not worried about it. I'm sure my wife is, but I'm not worried about it. And anytime an old man gets sick, I think you kind of say, well, we knew it was going to happen. Now, when you, a young man, got sick, that's something that is annoying.
Well, it's annoying, but you know what? It's over now.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, what? I don't know. There are worse things, I guess, is what I should say.
That's exactly the way I feel about my situation. So
yeah.
I was going to die within the week or something like that, and that wouldn't have been fun.
No. Well, you know, tonight maybe we'll get to talk about it a little bit off the air.
Sure. Be glad to.
Okay. Now, we do have winners. We got to pick a winner here.
Okay. Yeah, I heard you doing the thing, and I tried to get in the door before the hour. I was running late today because we went camping all weekend, and so things were a little messed up in the house this morning. But I didn't get in quick enough. I thought you might be asking me over the air, but you didn't. So,
well, I was going to, but then we got one person in the last 30 seconds, and I didn't have time to.
I didn't hear the last answer. What was it?
The largest toy distributor was McDonald's.
Oh, yeah, really? Because of the toy, the kid box?
I'm guessing.
So. Yeah. That's
so
interesting.
Trish, Sarah, Scott, and Judy Smith Those are our entrants this morning because Lee did not want to be in.
Okay.
Now, this is for two tickets to the Will Rogers Follies this coming Sunday at the Palace. Now, keep listening to the station this week because we've got four sets of these to give away.
That's cool.
This is just the first set that we're giving away. So here's what I'm going to do because there's some question on when I do a drawing if I'm on legit about this.
Oh, you're always legit. And if I'm here, you always ask me and... God knows I'm legit.
Right. I mean, why would I? You know, here's the question: why would I not be legit? I mean, I can't win these tickets.
Well, you could have taken them right from the beginning, and nobody would have known.
I could have never announced it and brought it up. So here's what I'm gonna do: I'm gonna take the four names now, not in order of they called in,
mm-hmm.
but I'm gonna designate each person a number.
That's good. I've already got the number
real
picked.
Quick. And then I'm going to ask you to pick a number. Now, everybody's got a designated number. Now, pick a number between 1 and 4.
I already wrote it down. Number 3.
Now, now this is funny because she's the one who put up a hassle this morning.
I'm sorry. Sarah.
I had number 3. And just for the record, Scott was number 1. Trish was number 2. Sarah was 3. And Judy Smith was 4.
I'm sorry for all the three that didn't win, but I'm happy for Sarah because she's a nice lady.
But remember, to all the rest, we have 3 more chances to win tickets to this show as the week goes on.
And if Sarah really doesn't want the tickets, she probably could give it to one of those three groups.
Well, no, she wanted them.
Oh, okay.
But because she won the pizza 2 weeks
ago. Oh, yeah. Okay.
She felt bad.
Okay. Well.
But we're giving away 3 more sets, so don't
sure.
feel bad.
No, because those other 3 people, they might win the other 3 sets.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, that's not it, you know. So Sarah Burggraf gets 2 tickets to the show Sunday at the Palace, 2 p.m., Will Rogers Follies.
When I get on her bus, I hope she treats me really nicely, too.
You know, she's never asked me to get on her bus, and I've been over on the south side I don't know how many times.
I wouldn't ask you either.
Well, no, I would be fun on a bus.
Oh, you'd be hilarious.
Don't you think?
Yes, I do.
Can you imagine if I didn't have to pay attention to driving,
oh.
how much fun I could be?
Oh, you'd be hilarious.
Get ready because we got a thing going on.
Okay.
Because this morning we had Brett Cornelius on, a city
yep.
council member,
yep.
talking about charter cities.
Yeah.
Now he gave us some information on this whole charter city because Monday it came out of committee, so it is before city council now. Now there are all kinds of little things here up in the air though.
Okay.
Because it has to pass city council by August the 10th. To get on the ballot,
okay.
which is not
less
very
than
far
a month,
off.
Yeah.
And it right now would have to have 3 readings.
Oh, so they've got to do it now.
Well,
this
I don't think they would have the time if they do the 3 readings because next Monday, the 18th, is a committee meeting. It's not a full council meeting.
Ah, yeah.
So, okay, so here's the caveat to that.
They can vote to overdo that, though.
That's right. They
yeah.
can vote to suspend the rules.
Right.
But will enough people be there to do that? And then they've also got to vote to have an emergency council meeting if they want to have the readings.
Hmm. Yeah.
And then, to top that all off, at that point, you got to have 15 people get petitions who are not city council people, who live in the city and are registered voters, to be the people who create the charter. And those have to be turned in by the 10th of August.
Hmm. Well, I don't have a reason to like or dislike the idea of having a charter city. I just think it sounds like an awful lot of work to write your own constitution for your city. And I don't know. They don't have to have all that done, I assume, by the time.
Yes, they do.
They have to have it written by the time they vote
on
it.
Not written. No. Okay. But they got. I think. Okay. Let's say that on Monday, they suspend. Let's
yeah.
say they get an emergency meeting called,
mm-hmm.
and they suspend the rules. and they pass it. Now, you got to have two-thirds, which means you can only lose three votes. And they feel they've already lost one in Mike Thomas.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, so they can only lose two more votes.
Oh, now, how's Ty going to...
Ty is gone.
Yeah, I know he is. So is the Democratic Party going to name somebody to take his place before
if
that?
If you live in the first ward and you're a Democrat, at some point they will do that. I don't know when they will, but yeah, that'll happen at some point. The committee, I think, chooses that.
Maybe Kai will still be around long enough to vote on this particular thing.
No, he's gone Friday.
He's gone. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That causes problems. I'll move to the first ward.
Well, and also Jason Schauber mm-hmm. and Ayers Ratliff and Mr. Feliciano all have a lot of questions. So there's three right there, and they can only lose two of them.
Well,
so if they lose two of them, it's gone.
I'm glad they have a lot of questions because they need to have these questions answered before they do something. This is pretty earth-shaking for this small town of Marion. It will change things.
But here's the question.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say you got all that done Monday and you got the votes to pass it. From July 18th through August the 9th or 10th, do you think you could get 15 people to get petitions who are not city council people and get them turned in?
How many people have to be on each petition?
It's not a whole lot.
Okay.
But do you think you could get 15 people to do that?
Well, when I ran for office, I had to get, 75 people, I think it was? And it takes a little while because there are a lot of people that will say, I don't want to mess with this.
Well, I'm just saying you got to have 15 people who are not involved in politics
yeah.
who want to commit to do this, go up to City Hall, get the petition, get it signed, and get it back in, and you would have to do that in about, 10, 21 days.
You know what this sounds like? It sounds like they're not going to get it done this time through, but it will pad it'll grease the skids for the next time through. It just sounds like too much work in too short a time.
Well, and another issue here is now there is some question about a mayoral veto, because when the mayor was on with me on June 28th, he told me that he was not totally sold on the idea because it had not been conveyed to him why we need a charter city.
Mm-hmm.
And now he did not say he was going to veto it. But when I asked Brett this morning if he could, he said that the mayor could not veto something that had 2/3 of a vote. And I got a message, and I'm not going to say from who, but somebody involved in city of government pretty heavy who knows their stuff. Who says that's not true? The mayor can veto or not sign anything he wants.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or pocket veto where he just doesn't sign it. Yeah.
So the mayor could stop this right in its tracks.
I think Mayor Schertzer is a smart young man, and I think he will weigh all sorts of things. I think he will try to do the best for the community he can. And being, non-committal at this point in time is not a bad thing. He just wants to look through the whole kit and caboodle. The problem is there's just not enough time to do that. That's why I think this will be the greasing the skids for maybe next year when they try it again.
Well, here's what I would say, and I'm not Kreskin. But if this did pass city council somehow by 2/3 of a vote.
But you do know Kreskin. Maybe he could help you out.
Okay, right. Right. My guess is if the mayor feels it's being rushed
mm-hmm.
or he does not understand still why we need a charter city, I think there could be a veto.
Yeah, and I think he'd be very right in doing that. And by vetoing it once doesn't mean it'll be vetoed forever. They could bring it back up the following year, I believe.
Right. But see, the interesting thing here, like with the Aquatic Center, the mayor vetoed that twice and got overturned twice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But the caveat here, it's being done so close to the election deadline of August the 10th, they wouldn't have time to overturn his veto.
Ah, now there's an interesting rub.
Right. So, it's all very complicated.
Yeah, it is.
I think the mayor will wait and see if it passes. you know, if it doesn't pass, there's no reason to veto it.
Yeah.
But I think if it does pass and he thinks it was rushed or doesn't understand why the case has not been made as to why we have it or need it, I think he might.
When I was running for office, the subject came up that shouldn't we do that. Now, I would not have been involved as a state representative, but I was interested enough to look into it. And I found that it's one of those things that the justification for having a charter city is usually everybody else is doing it. And that just doesn't seem like a real strong positive statement. The other problem is somebody has to write that charter. And you know darn well right now the Democrats won't like what's written into the charter. And if, let's say, after a year or two, the Democratic Party actually takes over Marion or most of their positions, then the Republicans won't like it. So I don't know. It's kind of a tough thing to do, I think.
I think there are bigger problems than that because
the 15 I do too.
People,
yeah.
15 people who would write this thing.
Yeah. Nobody's going to say yeah. That's going to take forever.
Well, by the time they get it done, which I think is they have a year or something to do it, because then the city has to vote on it again. Do they want to accept that charter? And the way people are, nobody agrees on anything 100% anymore.
Yeah, we get it on the radio, don't we?
We get it on the radio. We certainly do.
Yeah. Well,
so I really don't know, to be honest with you, how that would all shake out.
Yeah. Do you like the way things are going on in the city right now? That's what you should ask yourself.
Hey, hold. Keep talking. I got to take a call here.
Okay. Yeah. If you're trying to weigh this question, I think you need to ask yourself, do you like what's going on right now in the city? If you do, then maybe you don't want to have them do a charter. Then there's another question. Do you like or do you dislike what's going on in the city? And in that case, maybe you do want the change. And then you have to ask yourself, do you think we have enough smart people to develop a charter that honors all people? You know, a charter that isn't solely Republican or solely Democratic. And we're going to have a real problem with that one right there because we are so divided right now in our political stances.
Well, that's what makes it interesting.
Yeah.
And tomorrow, I just want to let people know at 9:15, I've got somebody coming on, not to refute what Brett said, but this is somebody who's been in city government quite a while and just explain where maybe this morning things weren't exactly laid out as they could be.
I got a phone call. You want to go to it?
Oh, go ahead.
All right. Hi, you're on the air.
Gentlemen.
Yes.
Hope I called the right number.
You called the fine number. Yes, sir.
Can you believe it, Glenn? I agree with you on the
charter. Oh, my gosh. Okay.
Can you believe I don't think it's going to get through this time, the timing and what are the advantages. But I think eventually, keep trying if you don't succeed.
What do you agree? Wait a second. I was asleep.
Two or three times, I think it will eventually go through. Well, yeah, what are the advantages? Do we have people to do this? Because we're kind of on our own.
Say?
Do we need to be part of the state?
Am I on a planet?
Methodology or figure it out on our own? What are the
I'm
advantages
going home.
On both
I'm
sides?
Done. Bye-bye.
Adam, Scott thinks that we're disregarding him, which I guess we were.
I can't hear what he's saying. I hear that he's talking, but I have no idea what he's saying.
Okay.
Glenn!
Yes, sir.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you fine.
Okay, what is Adam agreeing?
Adam's agreeing that it's just not enough time to get it done.
Oh, okay, there you go.
And not enough convincing reasons, too.
Okay.
You live in the city, Glenn, I believe.
Yeah,
I'm pretty good at geography.
Yeah.
May I ask, are you in favor of this, and what do you think are the good and bad points?
You're
a taxpaying resident of Marion. What's your viewpoint? You're a good person to ask.
Like I pointed to earlier, I am at the point where I don't know what I believe. I'm not opposed to it, but I'm also not for it because I don't know enough about it. The other problem, Adam, is that they're going to have to educate all of us on what it does, and they
have.
That's
what I'm saying. It's, you know, okay, it's a cool novelty, but what are the advantages? Why should we do this?
I don't.
And I think your viewpoint is probably similar to most people. And plus, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Is it broke? Well, politics is broke pretty much all around, but can we at least make it better?
Well,
yeah, I think if someone like yourself can get convinced as a longtime resident, and it's nonpartisan. I don't think the party has anything to do with this, but I don't, you know, I don't believe in parties anyway, especially
the vote will.
Especially for a small or medium-sized city. I think if they can show you, because you're certainly going in with an open mind, you're not saying this is dumb, saying I'll do this if there's a reason for it. If you can be convinced, and I don't think it's that hard, then you'll go through with it. Otherwise, it's leave well enough alone. That's what I think is going on right now with that.
My wife, myself, and Buddy, my dog, will all talk about it before we vote. it's just not enough time. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Do you believe that it isn't going to be about party? In the city, I don't think it'll be about party. But I think when it goes to the vote on council to have it put on the ballot, I think that's going to be very party driven.
I think it could be very politically driven because they want to say we won. One thing or another. You know, both parties want to be able to say we won that one. And also,
one of the big things of a charter is limiting the power of a mayor. And I don't think the Democratic Party would even want the thought of that right now, because once you put this on the ballot, it's out of city council's hands. It's in the voters' hands.
Yeah. Well, and it might not limit the mayor if they write it that way. But I doubt that they will. Yeah. Adam, are you still there?
Yeah, right here.
I just want
enough of what Scott is saying. Just and about Kai Mead, he's been a very good friend of the station. I wish him luck with his growing family. He's making a personal decision that I think is a good idea from that
move,
from that viewpoint. Any idea whom will be chosen to replace him in the first ward? As a Democrat yourself, Glenn, anybody? Maybe yourself. You're not in the first ward, right?
I'm not in the first ward.
Do you have any ideas or do you have any suggestions as to who would be a good choice? Can you move to the first ward?
I used to participate in the Democratic Club Party meetings, but I don't anymore. I've been very disappointed with some things that have gone on statewide, so I've kind of backed out. So I really don't even know who's available.
Well, it's interesting to me because the long-term first ward councilman was a Democrat prior to Robert Landon, was Ralph Cumston.
Yeah.
And I wonder if Ralph still lives in the first ward, and if he didn't have to run for office, would he want to come in and finish out this term?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Yeah. Well, we shall see.
Yep.
Do you agree with me that Kai has not finished with being in public office?
I'm sure.
I think he has his eyes on something statewide. That's part of this, I believe.
He's got a fire in his belly, a political fire in his belly.
Yeah. Very sharp, and moderate Democrat. Heard the last of him. I think there's going to be some bigger and better things. I think he'll wait for his kid to be closer to school age.
Sure.
But I think before he's 30, we will see his name on the ballot somewhere.
That wouldn't bother me a bit.
Okay, well, that's all I had for you, gentlemen. Have a nice day.
Thank you, Adam. Bye-bye. Yeah.
Do you get that Adam has some kind of enamoration with Kai Mead?
I like Kai Mead.
I like Kai Mead, too. Kai's been on a lot with me. But Adam, you know, really has a...
I don't know what the implications of what you just said are.
A friend of the station. You know, I never refer of a politician, a current politician, as a friend because I don't... Who's a foe?
Yeah,
I don't know
yeah.
who are the station foes.
But Adam doesn't have to worry about that because he's in private business. So.
Nobody does. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, if he said Kai's a friend of mine, Adam,
mm-hmm.
That's a little different than saying a friend of the station.
Well, I think he was supposing that because
he's
been on so often.
Dislike Kai. Yeah. I'm just saying Who to have friends, you got to have foes. Now, who are the foes?
I can tell you one name, but I'm going to pass on it.
Well, but I, now see, you could say a name, and I guarantee you I would not think of them as a foe.
Okay.
I know who you're thinking.
Yeah.
But go ahead and say it. The audience knows.
It was this, and I don't know him, so I don't think I'll say his name. So I'm going to pass on that. I'm going to do like what a lot of the broadcasters have done with the president, the former president. I'm not going to mention his name.
In any event, not a foe. Oh, no. Political foes.
Political foes. Now, I don't know.
I don't know that we have any political foes.
I don't think we do. Why would we? We are pretty down the middle. Yeah.
Right, that's the point I was making.
Yeah, you know, okay.
For Kai to be a friend, because Kai's a, until Friday, a politician.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't think that we're partial to Kai in any way more than we'd be partial to anybody else.
I think you proved that during this recent primary. You've had on a lot of different colors of politicians, blue right. and red.
But and well, I guess the other enamored part would have been that, you know, we'll see his name on the ballot somewhere else and all that. And that may be true, but, you know, I don't know. I mean, Kai, last time I checked, was going to college for a career.
Yeah.
And it's a fairly lucrative career. So I don't know that, I mean, it was his choice to move out of the ward.
I think that Adam was supposing that Kai does have that political fire in his belly, which I did, and it kind of almost tells you have to run for office, and maybe he's pretty good at it. However, he's the only person I know that ever won a contest by what? One or two votes.
One vote.
I love it.
Won by one vote the first time and ran with a write-in candidate the second time.
Well, only he won by the one only because of a recount. I mean, he really won by three. No,
boy, those margins just keep getting bigger, don't they?
Yeah. Oh, my.
You know, no, I don't know. I maybe he will. I mean, I certainly think he was interested in politics, but I also think for somebody that young who is highly interested in politics to walk away from a 2-year term, to me, that's interesting.
Well, I'm sure there was a lot that went on at home over the kitchen table, and I believe that's important. If you don't have your family's commitment to what you're doing, it's bad. I did not run one time because my wife she was tired of, well, I had run earlier and lost, and she just didn't want to see me out on the streets all the time. So I didn't run one time, and I wish I had, but I didn't.
Well, I'll tell you, and coincidentally, the councilman in Ward 1 prior to Kai Mead was Robert Landon.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as I know, Robert Landon still lives in the first ward.
Mm-hmm.
And
he might have a struggle, though, just because of things that have gone on.
I don't know if that's a struggle. You know,
a lot of people love him.
Tremendous name recognition.
Yep. A lot of people love him. Yep.
Yeah, so I don't know. And he unseated Ralph Cumston after 20 years.
Yeah, yeah. Well, sometimes if you've been in office for 20 years, you're getting a little too long in tooth, I guess. But, you know, it'd be a perfect person to come in, and he would know the business, and he would be a perfect person to come in and take over, at least for the remaining whatever the term is.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, Robert Landon couldn't because he's a Republican.
No, I'm talking about Cumston.
Oh, Cumston, yeah.
And,
well,
and the Democratic Party is going to have to appoint somebody to do that, I assume.
Yeah, you know, usually they have a day and they have all the Democrats who want to do it come in and they interview them and then the committee picks.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's what normally happens.
Yeah. I'm sure there are a lot of people that would like to have him back, but he may not want to get into the fray anymore.
Yeah. Well, that could be, but tomorrow morning at 9:15, we will have somebody on who knows about city government, and we'll go through some of the things that Brett said this morning.
Good. All right. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, it should be interesting because we'll get the clarification on some things. You know, and I don't know. There's a lot to learn with city council. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, yeah.
So what's on your mind this morning?
We did another camping trip in my new new-to-us motorhome, and we had four raccoons come visit us, which scared the holy something or other out of my wife. Now, raccoons don't frighten me too much, as long as they don't come at me. And one of them did come at me, but he was a little one, and I thought, well, he just wanted to be friendly. But then Buddy said, no, get back. And so that didn't work so well. And then we had a visit by a very large doe who wandered into the woods near us and ate a lot of grass and a lot of trees and didn't even pay attention to us, which made it kind of fun. I love going down to the Delaware State Park. It's a nice place to camp, and I really do want to go up to Lake Erie here soon. I was going to do it this coming weekend, but I have to be a grandpa to a dog, and I don't think I want to have two dogs on my camping trip.
Now, in your obituary, do you want it to say survived by animals?
Buddy. Furry friends? No.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, I wouldn't care. If my wife doesn't want to have an obit on me, I don't even care. I've mentioned on the air about how I'm trying to put together six songs, kind of show my life. And if I'm going to have a memorial service, I'd like to have that played. It'll be about a half an hour. Have it played right before the memorial service, and the memorial service should be no more than 10 minutes. That's all I want, and I'll be happy. I'll be happy anyway.
So this will be a 40-minute affair.
Yeah, only if you come for the early music. I mean, you don't have to come for the music, because it'll be playing on record. I'm not going to pay BMI either. I'm going to pirate it.
You're going to have a record player there?
No, I'm going to have some sort of recording machine available.
Well, that'll be interesting.
Yeah, I think so. You know, like, one of the songs I absolutely know that I will have on there is Boys to Men. The song, I can't remember what the title is. It's Mama. Where he talks about his mother. And that would be one of my songs that I would put in for my early life, because my mother was so important to me. And, you know, there are... Another one I want to have in is Harvest Moon by Young. What's his first name? Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young. Because it shows the joy of having life with someone you love when you're young. And I'll put that in probably in the next slot, because it reminds me of my wife and the joy that we had when we used to date and when we first were married and would go out and kiss a lot. And, you know, I've got several other songs that I'm thinking about.
Well, you know, as I've said before, I just forget nothing. I don't like the idea of anything.
Yeah, mine's sort of going to be nothing.
I mean, I don't want a memorial. I don't want a graveside. I don't want a funeral. I don't want a visitation. I don't want... Now, an obituary, I think obituaries are good, just that's on the record.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people doing research... You know, read an obituary to know when you were born, when you died.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, I'm okay with an obituary, but I any kind of public gathering, I don't like, because I don't understand what, you know, I'm not a part of that. So I don't, you know, it's puzzling.
I've told my wife, basically I'm the same mind, except for I've told my wife when I pass, I don't really want a big memorial service over that song thing where we would have six songs. The only people that would come to that, the only people that would be directly invited would be my family members. And I think it's good to, you know, the only time my sister died, I don't know, 8-10 years ago, whenever it was, and I said to my niece, I said, you know, it's sad that the only time we get together is when somebody gets married or somebody dies, and she agreed to that, and that's the way it is, and I don't mind having my family get together we laughed at my sister's funeral. I mean, we had a good time at my sister's funeral. We didn't go out and get drunk or anything, but we had a good time, and I think that's good, because then it draws your family back together, and you remember a lot of great stuff about the deceased person. So I don't know, but then your family doesn't like you, so
that's right. So what's the point?
Yeah, what's the point?
I waste time.
Sorry, Scott.
Just get me in the ground and let's be done with it.
Yeah, turn you into a stardust. That's what I.
Well, and you know, I was having a conversation the other day, and I can't remember who it was with, but I don't know what happens when you die, so. You know, that's a curious thing to me, and I guess I'll find out then.
I think you and I, even though I'm an atheist, I believe that you and I, our first stop after we pass, will be at Wrigley Field.
I hope so.
Yeah, we'll float over Wrigley Field.
I've always liked the idea, and I don't know why, but I've always liked the idea of St. Peter. I like the idea of purgatory.
Oh, okay.
I like the idea of having to answer for what you did in life.
Yeah, I don't think any of that's true, but yeah, that's fine. See, I'm glad you feel that way.
Well, you know, for me, it's I don't know anything definitively about the end. So, you know, that's what I like to think about, because I would like people to have to explain some of the things they did.
Yeah, I would too. Hey, we got a phone call. Shall we go to it?
Go ahead.
All right. Hi, you're on the air.
When Corn on the Cob Ellie, once again, I can barely hear Scott, so if he interrupts me, I apologize, because I can't really hear.
Okay.
You asked, I'm listening to my call in delay, so I'm not sure if anybody else called. I would call Jim Jordan, a non-friend of the station.
Probably there you go.
A strong word, but he's been evasive. He supposedly hung up on Scott once. I believe that he did hang up. And what I mean by friend of the station is someone who we ask him to be on the air, or her, Tara Dyer being a her, I think she was on with Linda also this week, so we ask him or her to be on the air, and barring any unforeseen circumstances, the answer is yes. Mm-hmm. And the person is polite and respectful. Mary Taylor also, you probably don't agree much with what she has to say, but you would agree that she's been very cordial, she was very cordial, good person to have, and respected the request for it to be on the air. With Jim Jordan, it was like interruption to his busy, important day. And he was rude and evasive. So that's an example of someone who's not been a friend to the station.
Well, now let me come in here, because I did that interview. And what I would say about that is, the fact that he did the interview, I would say, is not a bad thing. That was not the first time that he was on the station. He had been on several times before that. That was not.
I can't make out what Scott is saying, Glenn. So can you please?
Okay, he's pointing out that he did do an interview. He did do several interviews with Jim Jordan, and
the last one he agreed to do, and it was about a subject I'm sure he didn't want to talk about.
And he's saying that the last one he did, it was about a subject he didn't want to talk about. I'm guessing that was the Ohio State thing.
When you're in politics, you have to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, now, some people do.
Jim Tressel and others have talked about things that were less than pleasant. They've been cordial.
Well, now, so, I invited him to my show.
We give Mary Taylor as an example. And Joe Blystone, too. I mean, he's been asked some difficult questions by Scott. He's been very respectful. And he's a non-politician, so it goes on both sides of the political belief spectrum. And you know, I brought this up before. There certainly are people that have been evasive, don't want to be on, and versus people that are o- always willing to. I personally asked Scott to talk about the Landon resignation just the minute I heard about it, and he said sure, and we talked on the phone over the air.
Yep.
So that's just an example of someone, again, I consider him a friend. I mean, not a close friend, but I mean, you know, a casual friend. But yeah,
he's, in my opinion,
a friend of the station. And if you want to know someone who's not a friend of the station, I gave you a name.
There you go. All right.
Can you, again, tell me what Scott said, because I can't hear.
Okay, he was saying it was Kai. It was not, who was it not, Scott?
I don't know if he was talking about me or the mayor, but it was Kai who came on.
It was Kai that came on and talked about
The resignation.
About the resignation, so.
Right. You know, he came on with me.
Yeah.
I asked him if we could talk on the phone over the air, and he was glad to do it.
Yep.
So,
okay.
Certainly, to my opinion, you probably agree, Glenn, is people that are in office or running for office should be available to the media virtually 24 hours a day. Then they should want to be on so people can hear their opinions. Again, I may not agree with a lot of Mary Taylor's politics, but certainly my opinion of her has been influenced positively by cordiality over the air. And the fact that she does seem to respect other people's beliefs, and we need a little more. I think you'd agree we need more of that.
Yeah, I do agree.
That would be Adam's perspective.
Okay.
That's about all I had to say.
Okay.
Thank you. Have a good day, Chuck.
Thanks for calling, Adam. Bye-bye. Interesting. I doubt that you got all that.
I did the interview with Jim Jordan, and I don't consider him... why would I consider him a foe? Because I would invite him on again. Now, would he come on again? Maybe not. But I would not... You know, usually all that's dictated by the situation.
Yeah.
Like Adam said there, Kai came on. Well, how many council people did he contact when Robert Landon resigned? You know, did he contact them all? Did he have people who denied coming on? See, that's where we get in trouble. Because if you don't ask everybody and nobody has denied you, then the person you reached out to saying yes doesn't really make them all that unique. It's because you asked them.
Yeah. Well, I asked Jim Jordan to come on my show and didn't get a response. So,
well,
but I didn't push it. I didn't push it. So,
well, I think that might have been, and for right or for wrong, I think that might have been because you ran for office on the Democratic ticket.
It could also be because I asked him to come on my show, which is A Progressive Life.
That could be it as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, there are reasons. And you know what? Scheduling. There have been people
sure.
who have been on with me who did not come on at times that I wish they would have because of scheduling issues.
Yeah.
So I there's nobody on my dark list, especially a politician. There's nobody that I wouldn't ask to come on. And if they say yes, they say yes. If they say no, they say no. I don't know that it's their obligation to come on because... If you had an obligation to every radio station and television station in your district, you'd do nothing but interviews all day.
Oh, yeah, and if you were a nationally famous person, politician, you'd be on day and night constantly, yeah. I don't know that there's an obligation, but I do believe that you should at least, and that's why a lot of politicians have a communications person, you should respond to requests. You might say, I'm sorry he can't make it, he's too busy.
And here comes the break.
Oh, I better get out of here.
You're listening to WWGH Radio LP, Marion, Ohio, 107.1 FM, The Talking Place. From legendary